Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Father, we want to thank you for your presence. We thank you that you're here, Father. We just welcome your Holy Spirit. We thank you that we can celebrate 7 years of Grace Life, of being part of this family, and of just being able to enjoy the Grace Life. Enjoy grace and life. Enjoy you, Jesus. We just thank you that the best is yet to come, Father. We thank you that as we get into the Word this morning, that it's alive, it's active, that it's going to produce results in our lives. We thank you, Father, that we're going to experience freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this morning I'm speaking about healing belongs to you, and this evening I'm going to be speaking about a key to your healing. So, it's two different messages. In case you want to come tonight or you want to join us online tonight. But turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, and while you're turning there, I'll just say, you know, one of the things that you've got to realize with healing, a lot of Christians make the mistake of we're standing over here and healing's down there and we're trying to get towards our healing. Okay, so we're over here and I really desire to be healed. So how do I get towards my healing? And then we start moving towards our healing. Whereas one of the things we've got to realize, number one, is that healing belongs to you as a Christian. And number two, you've already got it. Okay, it's like if you look at joy, for example. I think I shared this 2 weeks ago. You've got the joy of the Lord in you. Okay, it might be very deep down inside of you. And you might need to extract it. You know, you might need to pull, you know, reach down inside and let it out. But it's the same thing with healing. It's the same thing with all the blessing and the favor of God. You've already got it, so now you're learning to release it. You're learning to receive it or enjoy it. So, but apart from knowing that you've already got it and that belongs to you, you've got to know that God wants you well, that He wants this for you. Okay, so if we want to know what God's heart is for us, we can look at the way Jesus was and how He operated, and it should reveal something to us. Okay, so He is a perfect copy of God's nature, and He holds everything together by His powerful command. The Son made people clean from their sin. Okay, so Jesus, it says, made people clean from their sins. Doesn't say makes people clean from their sins. Isn't that awesome? The Son made people clean from their sins. Okay, so what does that mean about God? It means that God desire was to have people clean from their sin. And He didn't kind of expect you to clean up your act. He sent Jesus to clean you up. Okay, so that shows the heart of God, the heart of the Father, is that He wanted you to be clean. He wanted you to be free from sin. And then He sat down at the right side of God, the Great One in heaven. But this is basically just showing us that if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. So the heart of the Father is revealed in Jesus. Okay? So we're going to look at a few things here. There's 17 times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus heals everyone who's present. He doesn't just heal a few, he heals everyone. There's 17 accounts of it. I'm going to read some of them. 17 is a lot, right? So we're not going to go through all 17. But Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 to 17. It says, when the evening was come, they brought unto Him many who were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word, and He healed all that were sick. So He didn't just heal some, He healed all. Then Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 to 24, easy to read version says, Jesus went everywhere in the country of Galilee. He taught in the synagogues and told the good news about God's kingdom, and He healed all the people's diseases and sicknesses. He healed all the people's diseases and sicknesses. The news about Jesus spread over Syria, and people brought to Him all those who were sick. So not just some, but all. They were suffering from different kinds of diseases and pain. Some had demons inside of them and suffered from seizures, and some were paralyzed. Jesus healed them all. Okay? Not Jesus healed them some. Okay? Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, King James says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Not just a few, not just the easy ones, but all. Not just the ones that deserved it. All. Okay? Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. All the scriptures are on the screen, so you don't have to try and do, what's it, finger calinetics or, you know, exercises with your Bible. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, not just some, but all. Matthew 14, 14. "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick." Okay? Matthew 14, verse 34 to 36, easy to read, says, "After they crossed the lake, they came to the shore of Gennesaret. Some men saw Jesus and knew who he was. So they sent word to other people throughout that area that Jesus had come." Okay, so now they're sending word that Jesus had come, and what was the result? The people brought all their sick people to him. So this shows that his reputation preceded him, and that people actually knew what was going to happen. There was an expectation. So they brought all their sick people to him, and they begged Jesus to let them only touch the edge of his coat to be healed. And all the sick people who touched his coat were healed. So not some, but all. Okay? I mean, then, if you're looking throughout Matthew, there's more accounts. Mark, Luke, there's accounts everywhere in the Gospels of Jesus healing all, not just some. And in all my reading and study of the Word, I never see Jesus refusing to heal anyone, and I never see Jesus putting sickness on anyone. And those are very important parts. We've gone through all of that to kind of get to this point. Jesus never, ever put sickness on anyone. You don't see him going up to someone in the crowd and saying, "You know what? I'm going to give you cancer for the glory of God." You never see him doing anything like that. You never see him saying, you know, someone coming and saying, a blind man coming to Jesus and saying, "Have mercy on me. You know, heal me. I want to see again." And Jesus going, "You know what? God's got a purpose for this blindness in your life. You need to just hold tight. Suffer a little bit longer. Let me make you stronger." Okay, now, I can't remember how long ago, when I was teaching on healing and I was sharing along these lines, someone came up to me and said, "Yes, but they had all their scriptures, these are the only scriptures highlighted in their Bible, about how there's suffering in the kingdom and we're called to suffer and all of this. Let me just kind of explain to you. You can go get the why bad things happen, but suffering is never, ever, ever sickness. God's will doesn't include suffering as sickness. Suffering is a natural byproduct of being a Christian or just being alive. But for Christians, suffering is persecution. All those who live godly shall suffer persecution," Paul said to Timothy. Okay, so there is suffering in the Christian life, but it should never be sickness. Okay, how do I know that? Well, okay, the Son, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, shows the glory of God. He is the perfect copy of God's nature. So if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. If you know the heart of Jesus, if you see what Jesus did, you'll know what God's heart is. You'll know what God wants to do. Jesus never put sickness on anyone, which means that God never put sickness on anyone. Jesus never withholds healing from anyone, which means God's never withholding healing from anyone. The Son is a perfect representation of the Father. So you look to the Son to know what the Father's will is. And how many Christians, denominations, churches believe God put the sickness on me for a reason? That's a doctrine of the devil. I'll just say it straight. It's definitely not a doctrine of the Word of God, of Jesus. It's not anything to do with Christianity. That's something that the devil's planted in Christianity to try and disarm us and hold us back from experiencing all that God's got for us. God's will is that we live in health. Okay? Let's move on. Otherwise, I'll never move on. The Greek, so healing is included in what Jesus has done for us. Okay? We'll look at the scripture now, by his stripes we were healed. Okay? But so that means in Jesus' suffering and his death and in his resurrection, healing is provided for us. God wants us well. Okay? So it's part of the salvation package, healing. Healing is part of the salvation package. How do we know that? Well, at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So this is giving the reason why Jesus came. And then in John 3:17, it says that he didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That word saved there is sozo. Jesus came to save us. Sozo. Okay, that Greek word is sozo. What, you know, in different parts of scripture, sozo is used often. The word sozo. Sometimes it's translated as saved, sometimes it's translated as healed. In James it says, the prayer of the sick shall save, sozo. The prayer shall sozo the sick, shall heal the sick. Okay, so sozo means healed, delivered, prospered, made whole. So included in salvation is healing. Okay? Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 5, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So 700 years before Jesus comes, this is a prophecy of what Jesus would go through. That's amazing. Okay? And this is saying that Jesus didn't suffer for his own sins or his own mistakes. He was perfect. He was suffering for us. So when you see what Jesus went through, you need to see yourself as there, because he went through it for you. Which means that the penalty he paid for you, so you don't have to pay it. Which means that the victory that he won for you, so you don't have to win that victory. It's yours. You've got it. Okay? So it was his suffering was substitutionary. It was in our place. Okay? He wasn't being punished by God. He was taking our punishment that we deserve. He was taking what you deserve, what I deserve, and it was being placed on him. There's many people who think that they deserve the sickness that they've got. Maybe you do. But Jesus took what you deserve so you can get what he deserved. So even if whatever you're suffering with is a piece of what you've done, is a result of what you've done, then you just need to get to that place of Jesus took what I deserve so I get what he deserves. Okay? Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You need to be like convinced, surely he took it so I don't have to. He took it so I don't have to. Okay, sickness, this also says, let me read this here quickly. It says, verse 5, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Okay, and before that, verse 4, sorry, it says, we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Okay, he took our punishment for us, right? Which means that sickness in now, this side of the cross, is never a punishment from God. Yet how many times do we think, hey, this sickness must be punishment? It's never a punishment. Sickness is never a punishment for what you've done wrong. Why? Because Jesus took your punishment, and so you're never going to be punished. Okay? Now, Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 5 is quoted in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. And we're going to read from verse 16 in Matthew chapter 8. It says, when the evening was come, they brought unto Jesus, many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Once again, he healed all that were sick, not just a few, but he healed. He didn't just heal the few over here and then put sickness on the rest. It doesn't say that. He healed all, okay, that were sick. In verse 17, it says that it might be fulfilled. So the prophecy that was spoken by Isaiah, that it might be fulfilled, saying he himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Okay, so this is Jesus' quote, or what Jesus was doing. They're referring to the scripture in Isaiah, and they're quoting Isaiah in its place there. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they're replacing infirmities and sicknesses with the, for the word sorrows and griefs. Okay, because if you look at the root words there, which we're not going to do now, it's the same word. They're better translated as. Okay, so that says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Okay, and then it says there, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Okay, so the fact that this verse substitutes infirmities and sicknesses with the word sorrows and griefs makes it clear that with his stripes we are healed refers to physical healing. Even if you look at this, Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. It's not talking about a spiritual healing there. It's not talking about emotional healing. It includes that, what Jesus did for us. But he's talking specifically about physical healing. The word, I've had people telling me, this is talking about a spiritual healing in Isaiah. So you can't say that that God wants you well. Well, if you tie that in with Matthew, how can you explain it to be spiritual healing? Because it says there, it's quoting that scripture, and it's saying that it would be fulfilled that he would heal the sick. By his stripes we were healed. So it has to mean physical healing. Yeah, you have to really be creative to try and explain that it's a spiritual healing. You also have to be pretty spiritually blind to explain it as spiritual healing. Because if you read the scriptures, it's completely a plain that it's talking about physical healing. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own, we're going to be talking about this verse a bit more tonight. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. It's even putting your healing in the past tense. And this is where a lot of Christians get it wrong, is that, like I said to start off with, we're over here, we're sick, and our healing's over there, so now I need to do some things to try and get to my healing. We think about healing as something that we need to get towards, whereas this is saying, by whose stripes ye were healed. Ye were healed. It's past tense. You've already got it. And so we need to start seeing ourselves as God sees us. He sees us as healed because of what Jesus has done. And when we start aligning our will or our thoughts with his thoughts and our speech with his speech and our view with his view, then we start to see ourselves as healed. We'll start to experience it more. We're not the sick trying to be healed. We're the healed. And we're resisting sickness. Sickness tries to attack all of us. But you need to learn to resist it. You need to learn how to walk in health. And that's what we're going to also talk about this evening a bit more. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, For by grace you are saved. Saved in the Greek is sozo. I put it in there for you. So that's sozo, which means healed, delivered, prospered, made whole. Okay, so for by grace you are saved through faith. Now what that's saying, this is quite appropriate or handy. Okay, so this is salvation, this balloon. Okay? God isn't offended at this, and neither should you be at this example. Okay, so this is salvation, and salvation has been extended towards everyone. Okay, so you've all got a balloon above you called salvation, and it's something which you need to receive in order to enjoy. It's the same thing with healing, deliverance, prosperity, and wholeness, because it's all included in salvation. Sozo. Okay? So for by grace is unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. It's what's being extended towards you freely. It's God's free gift towards you. Okay? Now faith would be your positive response to what God is offering you. Your positive response is you taking hold of salvation. Taking hold of healing, deliverance, prosperity, wholeness. So, for those of you who are born again and have a relationship with God, you know it didn't happen by accident. No one got here by accident either this morning. None of you got dressed by accident. Okay? You're purposeful in everything we do, but we think that the things of the kingdom are just accidental. Healing is accidental. Sickness can be accidental sometimes, but it's not a thing of the kingdom. Okay, this is not accidental. Salvation. So salvation is extended towards you. It includes healing. Now you need to take it by faith. And faith takes it. Okay, faith is you receiving. Okay, so it's through faith, and then it says not of yourselves. Many people think that receiving salvation is because you've accomplished something. You become a Christian because you're following the Ten Commandments, going to church, you were baptized in water or christened as a child. Nowhere in Scripture does it say anything like that. Okay? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him, not does anything, believes. You've got to believe. It's about faith. It's not about good works. Faith leads to good works, but good works don't lead towards faith. Okay, so you believe in order to receive salvation. This is what this is saying. We believe unto salvation. It's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't boast in being a Christian because it's a free gift which you just received. You can't boast in your healing because it's a free gift which you just received. God doesn't say, hey, I want you well, I want you sick. I want you well, sick, well. You know? You might be in a place where you're really struggling to receive. There's something that you're trusting for and you're just not seeing the fulfillment of it. I've been there, many of us have been there. Where you're just constantly just like, you're just not there yet. You just haven't received it. You haven't seen the manifestation of what you're trusting for yet. It's okay. Okay, you're in good company. But God's not withholding it from you. That's what you've got to realize. God's a good Father who wants good things for you. Your healing's already been provided for. He's not withholding it from you. How do you get your healing? Well, you've already got it, number one, but you experience it by grace through faith. By grace you are saved, sozo, through faith. So you receive your healing, you receive sozo by faith. Okay? It's part of the salvation package. It's a free gift. So now we just need to receive it. The price has been paid for your healing in Christ. You don't have to pay for it. Many of us think that we need to pay for it. We need to do something in order to get to that place where we can receive. Not so. It's already given towards you. You don't have to do anything to become a Christian except believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Can you put up Romans chapter 9 10 verse 9, please. 10 verse 9 and 10. Let's look at that verse. Now, the same way, okay, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace you are saved through faith. So that's how you get saved. That's how you get healed, delivered, prospered, made whole. How do we know that? Colossians 2 verse 6. I've been writing about that in the devotionals this past week. Colossians 2 verse 6 says, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. That means the same way you received salvation is the same way you walk in salvation. The same way you receive Jesus as Lord, the same way that you walk in relationship with Him. Okay? And then you've got Romans chapter 10, which says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. It doesn't say anything about performance. Doesn't say anything about holiness. Doesn't say anything about the Ten Commandments. Doesn't say anything about church attendance. Doesn't say anything about tithing. Doesn't say anything about not swearing, not smoking. Doesn't say anything about the things that we would think that you need to do in order to be saved or healed or prosper or whatever. And the same way we receive salvation, the same faith that it takes to receive salvation and enter into relationship with God is the same faith that it takes to be healed. It's not some extra kind of special faith. It's the same faith. Okay? And so this is saying, thou shalt be saved, same Greek word. Healed, delivered, prospered, made whole. So let's read it with healed. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be healed. So what does it mean? It's saying, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that's not... I come out of circles where you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You can't make Jesus Lord of anything. He's already Lord. You can't make me a man. I'm already a man. You can't make Jesus something he already is. You're acknowledging him as Lord. Confess means to say the same thing. Confess means to acknowledge. It's not to create something. See, when you're confessing that you're healed by his stripes, you're not creating something, you're acknowledging something that already exists. So what this is saying, if you confess, you say the same thing. You acknowledge with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You're acknowledging Jesus is your Lord. You're acknowledging him, that you're acknowledging that he is Lord over your health, that he is the supreme one, that what he says is true. So what does he say about you? He says, by his stripes you're healed. So what you're doing is you're acknowledging that he's right and you're wrong. Amen? Okay, so that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what has that got to do with it? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 10 and verse 11 basically speaks about how the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And it says, and is giving life to your mortal body. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and at work in your mortal body, giving life and health, a revitalization to your body. So what you're doing when you're saying, you can go back, thank you. Just showing that it's right. God raised him from the dead. So in your heart, you have to believe that God raised him from the dead. You know what the result of the resurrection is? The new creation. So, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, because of Jesus being raised from the dead, you can be born again. So, I believe that what it means is, shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. It's saying that you're acknowledging and realizing in your heart that you're a new creation. Sickness cannot be in the new creation. And so what you're doing is you're acknowledging, you're confessing it with your mouth that Jesus is supreme, he's Lord, he's right, what his word says is true, and you're believing in your heart that you're a new creation because Jesus is raised from the dead. And now the same Spirit that raised him from the dead is living in you, is alive in you, and is giving life to your mortal body. Okay? The same way we receive salvation is the same way we receive our healing. It's actually not complicated. Okay, so some keys to receiving your healing. I think one of the biggest things stemming on from that is knowing that you're righteous. We need to know that we're righteous. It makes it much easier to receive healing. I'm not saying if you don't know you're righteous, you're not going to receive your healing. But I'm telling you how to make it easier to receive your healing. You are healed. But let's look at how can we experience the manifestation of this healing easy? Well, know that you're righteous. Why? Because righteous means innocent. It means that you are right with God. Many people don't receive healing because they feel like they don't deserve it. Righteous means you deserve it. What he's done for you, something rises up inside of you like, wow, I want that. I'll have some of that. And then you receive it by faith. So you just focus on the good news of what Jesus has done for you, the good news of his love and his grace. Faith rises up within you and you'll reach out and want to receive it. You'll reach out and want to take hold of it. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6, the end there says, but faith which works by love. So what this is saying is that faith works by love. Okay, the word love there in the Greek is agape. It's talking about God's kind of love. God's self-sacrificial love. And so what it's saying is that when you focus on God's self-sacrificial love for you, faith, that thing will rise up inside of you and it will take hold of what you need. So whatever your need is, whether it's healing, whether it's a job, whether it's provision, whether it's whatever, you don't focus on what you're looking for, you're focused on who's going to give it to you. Or who's given it to you. You focus on Jesus and the finished work of what he's done for you. And this faith will rise up in you and you'll be like, it's mine. Look at this with me. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. This is a good scripture for you just to meditate on with regard to receiving anything from God. But Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" So this is saying, you know, if you think about Jesus, if you think about the Father giving Jesus for you, he gave everything, his only begotten son, his only son. He gave him for you. If you think about that and you meditate on that, the logical conclusion to it should be, how will he not with Jesus also freely give me all things? Why would he give me Jesus and withhold my healing? Why would he give me Jesus and withhold my provision and make me suffer? It doesn't make sense. Why would a loving Father give us Jesus, and Jesus went through so much for us so that you could suffer? It doesn't make sense. No matter what denomination you are, it doesn't make sense. Okay, it can only be a religious belief, a doctrine of a devil to try and get us to not believe the gospel. God wants us well. He wants us to live strong. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be whole. As we focus on His love for us, His self-sacrificial love, that He gave Jesus to get not to get anything from us, but to give everything to us. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 and 2 in the Message puts it like that. But He freely gave everything of Himself to us so that we would be able to get everything of Him, not to give anything to Him. Okay? If you don't see your faith working, if you're not seeing yourself receive that healing or whatever, you do not have a deficiency in faith. You've got all the faith that you need. Jesus said you just need faith like a mustard seed and you can tell that mountain to move. So faith isn't the problem. Okay? You don't have a faith problem. You've got a love problem. You've got a deficiency in love. A deficiency in knowing and experiencing the love of God. You don't need God to love you more, and you don't need to love God more in order to receive your healing. You need to know and experience God's love for you, and that'll help you to receive your healing. That healing is God's manifestation, one of the ways He manifests His love towards us. Okay? He's already given it to you, so He's not withholding it. You just need to focus on His love, and you'll see it work. Okay, some sickness is caused by rejection, bitterness, unforgiveness, etc., etc. Yeah, it's caused because of certain things. Like, for example, I've shared this before, a lot of autoimmune diseases would be caused by, self-condemnation. You feel bad for something, you're focused on how bad you are, how you've messed up, on how pathetic you are, or whatever. And what you're doing is you're sending the message to your immune system, which is supposed to protect you, that you are the enemy. That's what you're telling your immune system. And so your immune system starts to work against you. Okay, I read this written by a medical doctor. So it's not Dr. Shane, it's Dr. someone else. I can't remember her name. But the point is that your immune system is designed to protect and to help and to promote health in your body. But if you're constantly giving into rejection and you're criticizing yourself and you're condemning yourself, what you're doing is you're telling yourself you're unfit for use, and your immune system, this power and life of life and death in your tongue. And if you're constantly meditating on toxic thoughts like that, you're empowering that toxic stuff to just destroy you. And so what it's going to do is it's going to give birth to death in your life. Okay, it's going to cause sickness. Okay, so as I said, you know, sometimes we get sick because of things like this, even because of sin. But as you focus on Jesus, it sorts it out. You don't even need to deal with that. Why? Let's look through a couple of verses. Because as you focus on Jesus, the problem is sorted out. Because as you focus on Jesus, you realize that you're forgiven. So if God's forgiven you, why should you hold it against you? Then you start to see, hey, I'm completely forgiven. God's not holding anything against me. That is a key to unlock us being able to receive healing. It's realizing, because if God's forgiven you, why would He hold something against you? Why would He make you sick and punish you with sickness if He's forgiven you already? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 says, easy to read version, Jesus Christ did the things God wanted Him to do, and because of that, we are made holy through the sacrifice of Christ's body. So we are made holy through what Jesus did for us, not what we do for Him. Christ made that sacrifice one time, enough for all time. So that means for the sin that you're going to commit tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day, the provision has already been made for your healing, for your complete forgiveness 2,000 years ago. You're already forgiven. Even if you're healthy and you're not thinking about healing or anything right now, the fact, just to be convinced of God has completely forgiven you, that's empowering. That's awesome. Now that's revolutionary for a lot of Christians. Hebrews chapter 10, 17 to 18, easy to read version says, then he says, I will forget their sins and never again remember the evil that they have done. So God's not remembering what you've done wrong, but the problem is that sometimes you remember what you've done wrong, and that holds you in bondage and prevents you from receiving. Because you're like, thank you, Father, by your stripes I'm healed. And in the back of your head, you're like, I'm not perfect. I've made so many mistakes. I don't really deserve this. You go up for prayer, someone prays for you, and in the name of Jesus, I command X, Y, and Z, and you're like, I hope this works. But I don't really deserve this. That's destroying you. Focus on these scriptures and get to the place where you're thoroughly convinced of God's love for you and that you're completely forgiven. Okay? Verse 18, after everything is forgiven, there is no more need for a sacrifice to pay for sin. You know, what that's saying is that Jesus paid the sacrifice for your healing, so you don't have to sacrifice for it. Some of us think, if I fast a little bit more, if I sacrifice a little bit more by fasting or giving more or whatever, then maybe I'll get healed. Now, I've been in services where they hand out the envelopes, and then before they do the altar call for healing, you know, you put your offering in the envelope and you write what miracle you're trusting for on the envelope. And that's maybe a way to do it, but you know, the underlying message which you pick up from that, even if they're not saying it, is, you know, you're buying your healing. The more you give, the more you're going to get likely to get your healing. And if you don't get healed, then you think, well, maybe I didn't give enough. For those of you who believe that, we're going to send the offering buckets around again in a moment. I'm joking. We won't do it specially for you. Jesus paid for it, so you don't have to pay for it. Your healing is freely given to you. Amen. When you discover your righteousness, that you are completely innocent, holy, and blameless, it's easier to receive your healing. It's easier to receive your provision. It's easier to receive from the Father. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says, He has made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's King James. The Good News Bible puts it like this. Christ was without sin, but for our sake, God made Him share our sin in order that in union with Him, we might share the righteousness of God. You can, instead of share, put partake there. So, Jesus took our sin that because of our union with Him, we might partake in His righteousness. A God's Word translation puts it like this. God had Christ, who was sinless, take our sin so that we might receive God's approval through Him. When you realize that because of what Jesus has done for you, you have God's approval, you're not going to wonder if you deserve healing or not. You're not going to wonder, do I deserve provision or not? You're not going to wonder anything like that, because if you've got God's approval, it means you're pre-approved for your healing. You might go to the bank and you're not pre-approved for a loan or whatever you're wanting, but when it comes to healing, you're pre-approved. You might not be cashing in on that approval, but you're pre-approved. Okay? Romans chapter 8 verse 1, the easy to read version. I like this. So now, anyone who is in Christ is not judged guilty. If you're a Christian, it means you're in Christ. And it means that you cannot be judged guilty. Because now you're a Christian. Yes, I know that you made a mistake this week and that you messed up and whatever. And maybe you haven't even said sorry or asked for forgiveness yet. This might make you fall off your chair. Hold on. Even though you didn't ask for forgiveness, you're already forgiven. God's not holding it against you. And even though you didn't say sorry, you cannot be judged guilty. Because you are innocent in Christ. You are righteous. You are pure. You are blameless. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, easy to read, says, in Christ He chose us before the world was made. So before you existed, you were chosen. A lot of sickness can be the result of rejection. You got rejected by people. You got rejected by this. You got rejected by that. I don't know, your father, your mother, whatever. Maybe, and then as a result, you start rejecting yourself. Okay? You know how to deal with that rejection? You don't need to go back to the womb in prayer. For those of you who know about that stuff. It can help, but you don't need that. It can help. I'm not dismissing it, but I'm showing you a better way. The better way is to realize that before the world existed, you were chosen. And if God chose you, who cares who rejects you? If you find your acceptance in Christ, it doesn't matter who rejects you, you will not suffer with any rejection or any fruit of rejection in your life. That's liberating. When you realize how forgiven you are and how free you are and how accepted and loved you are in Christ, doesn't matter what anyone tries to put on you, you're free. Free to receive your healing. Then you don't have to go through hoops and you know, I don't know what, do all these things to try and get healed, because you realize you're free. You realize that God accepts you, He loves you, and He's the one who's going to give you your healing, or has given you your healing. He's the source of your healing, not the people who rejected you. And yet a lot of us allow the people who reject us to hold us in bondage. So He chose us in love to be His holy people. He chose you to be His holy people. Now that you're a child of God, you are His holy people. You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. You know what it means that you're righteous and that you're holy and that you're blameless? It means that you're perfect in Him. That you're deserving of that provision. People who can stand before Him without any fault. You stand before God without any fault. The only fault against you is the one that you're holding in your mind. So we need to start to say what God says. We need to see things the way God sees them. And this is a large way for us to be able to receive our healing, right? Philemon 1 verse 6. That the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. God's word says that by His stripes you were healed. Now you need to align your confession, what you say, with God's word. You might feel pain, you might feel sick, but you need to start, you're learning to say what God says about you. Okay, let's backtrack. You might feel unworthy, you might feel unrighteous, you might feel unholy, but you need to learn to say what God's word says about you. Even when you feel unworthy and unrighteous and unholy, your confession needs to be, I am righteous, I'm holy, and I'm worthy. I'm pure, I'm blameless. You need to learn to say what God's word says, independent of your feeling. Okay? Then the same thing happens with healing. He says, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Yes, I feel. I am not sick. I feel sick. I'm not taking ownership of it. My body just feels something. I am not sick. It's not my identity. My identity is I am a believer. I am a child of God. I am righteous. I don't feel sick. I mean, I am not sick. I feel sick. By His stripes, I was healed. I have this pain in my body, but I'm actually healed. You're learning to say what God's word says about you, and it's not contradictory. You're just saying that, hey, the spiritual supersedes the physical. Now, for those of you who don't know, maybe confused at that, think about this. God is a spirit, and He spoke what we are experiencing into existence. God, as a spirit, spoke the world into existence. That means the spiritual comes before the physical, and it's supreme to the physical. And so the spiritual, God says, by His stripes, Jesus' stripes, you were healed. That's a spiritual reality which is far above your physical reality. In your physical reality, you're a spiritual being now. Everyone's a spiritual being, but now you're a righteous spiritual being. You're going to be with Jesus forever. Okay, and now you need to start to see yourself as God sees you. Righteous and healed. So start saying it. The communication of your faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. In Christ, you have all these good things. Start to acknowledge what's in you in Christ, not what's in you in the flesh. Stop acknowledging the pain and the sickness and the suffering and start acknowledging what's in Christ. The healing, the righteousness, the wholeness. And start to see that and then you start to experience that. Because then it says, it becomes effectual. How does it become effectual? By acknowledging. What is acknowledging? It's not creating something. Acknowledging is not creating something. Acknowledging is recognizing. Acknowledging is recognizing something that exists. It's not trying to create something that doesn't exist. So what you're doing is you're acknowledging what's in the spiritual. You're not acknowledging what's in the physical. I acknowledge that you're here. Welcome. My wife is not here. She's left the service. But by me saying I acknowledge that my wife is here now, doesn't make her appear here. Okay? You acknowledging your healing means that and confessing your healing means that you're acknowledging and confessing that you've got it. Not that you're trying to get it. Okay? So we need to look unto Jesus. This is one of the keys to receiving our healing. Looking unto Jesus, looking to what He's done for us. Faith rises up in our heart to receive. Amen? Now I want to mention something on diet quickly. Yeah. People think that health has to do with diet. And it does. I thought, let me just add in, I've never spoken about this in a healing teaching. So let me speak about it for a moment. You are what you eat. Some of us, we can figure out what we are, hey? Divine health is the result of divine diet. Divine health is the result of divine diet. So when you're feasting on Jesus, when you're looking unto Jesus, when you're feasting on the Word, it's life and health to all your flesh. Diet is important. I'm not talking about apples and oranges and bananas and vegetables. That's good. That has its place 100%. Okay? But what I'm saying is that divine health comes from divine diet. Okay? Psalm 107 verse 20 says, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So, He sent His Word and He healed your diseases. Healing is in the Word. Jesus is the living Word. Feast on Jesus and you've got your healing. Focus on Jesus and on the finished work and you've got your healing. Okay? Healing and health isn't dependent on your ability to live right or even on your ability to know a lot of Scripture. It's been done. It's yours. It's dependent on you knowing His love, more so on knowing His love and experiencing His love. That's why when we come to communion, we're celebrating what Jesus has done for us. We're focusing on what Jesus has done for us. Okay, we're focusing on His love and His goodness and His grace. Okay? By His stripes, we were healed. That's what the body represents. We do this in remembrance of Him, what He's done for us. And so as we partake of the bread, you're declaring your healing and your health, which is in you. You're saying, hey, I'm feasting on Jesus. And you're receiving Jesus. You're acknowledging, which means you're recognizing that you're healed in Christ. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168. Or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.